Hello and welcome. I'm Dennis Prout, Certified Financial Planner.
And I'm Shea Pataja, the co-host of
New Retirement Radio,
the podcast.
Dennis Prout is an investment advisor representative with Capital Asset Advisory Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Capital Asset Advisory Services. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with a financial professional.
And welcome aboard to another edition of New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design in Traverse City, Michigan, starring certified financial planner, Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ron. It's great to be here. Thank you so much. Thursday, 6/27/2019, rocking and rolling on the weather scene, and apparently the Rolling Stones down in Chicago are rocking and rolling the scene down there from words to the wise, apparently.
Yes, the professor rocked out with the Stones. Yep.
There, as well as other folks.
60,000 other folks.
Just telling me about it. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. What fun. Mm. Apparently, just a bit of energy down there, driven by Mick Jagger, the man himself, running across the stage nonstop for 2 hours straight each night, apparently.
76. No thoughts of retirement from Mick Jagger.
Apparently not.
Him and Dennis are on the same trajectory. We will not retire. We love what we do. Never.
Never.
Yeah, and Ron, first of all, before we get started, thank you. You do, honestly, I'll just tell the listening audience, a great job of helping us host this show, which you've done for many years.
Many years.
But we're very grateful for you, your voice, and your willingness to help us.
I'm actually going to be a certified financial planner a few more years of this, and I think I get my certificate.
You and me together, Ron.
I know.
We've earned it. We've put the hours in. What are these? Every show should be a CE hour.
Exactly.
You know, a credit.
Just buy a calculator, and you're on your way, Ron.
I'm going to call Ed Slott and say, Ed, I am ready. I want to be on your team.
He'd be like, Ron, yes, this is by far a long overdue decision. That's how he would talk to you.
And a little bit of chocolate, and you'll be able to make it through the day with Ed. Yeah. Believe me, he'll put the fear into you. So we have Heidi with us, our managing director, as well as Shea Pataja, our CXO, Chief Experience Officer. Today we're talking about the economic cycle. Why? Why? Uh-huh. Because it's incredible what's going on out there. And the stats, the statistics, just rolling in. As soon as we decided, 10 days or so ago, to run a show on this, they just start rolling in. Oh, my gosh. Like, Ron, look at this. I wish I could show the audience.
My goodness.
Pages.
Is that a phone book?
It's almost a phone book of economic statistics. We'll try to relay it to the audience in some form that they can stay awake with. Anyway.
Well, it's also halfway through the year, so this is a good time to take inventory, so
here
to speak.
Here we are up on almost 6:30.
I can't believe it, especially June since 30th. Summer just showed up last week.
Just last week.
So a dramatic shift in U.S. monetary policy, jumping right into it here.
Really?
Extending our long-running economic expansion. A dramatic shift. What does that mean?
What does that
mean? Instead of a rising interest rate environment, look at this. I mean, talk about a scene change. This is serious stuff. Dennis, you're so serious. Interest rates on their way down. And some would say, in fact, some very respected voices, that we may see short interest rates go down to next nothing. I hate to say the word zero, but I know we can't remember the last time interest rates were at zero. It wasn't that long ago. Mm. But we may see interest rates come down and quite dramatically.
What are they about now? Where are they?
Well, short rates are at about 2% or so. The 10-year Treasury note just bounced below 2%. But the short rates have been somewhat higher. And so it's almost a flat range.
Yeah. I have a stat for the 30-year fixed mortgage right here. Would that be of interest? Yeah, the average nationwide interest rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage rate was 3.84 last week, just over half of the 1% above its all-time low of 3.31 achieved at Thanksgiving of 2012.
So we could see 30-year mortgages come down another half a point to 3.5 or so in that range. We could see 15 to 20-year money come under 3. So
is that a sign, though? Isn't that when interest rates are lower, they don't kick them up? Isn't that a negative sign for some reasons?
It can be for some assets. Yeah, specifically those who are trying to save short term.
Yeah.
That means your savings account is going to start whittling and short-term CDs back down again. And it's not good for those who are trying to be extra conservative or have some extra money set aside. Interest rates on their way down. But it's great for the economy. Great for borrowers, and generally good for the global stock market. Some other stats that are just very compelling. Diversification has never been more important. International stocks have been lagging. Bond markets have been rallying. So bonds have been appreciating relatively significantly, so both bonds and stocks. Now, what's interesting about this new monetary policy, and this is not just in the United States, it's globally. We're probably looking, well, it's good for gold, as we've already seen. So gold, precious metals, have been trending upward because of this policy, which is certainly much freer with the dollars. Not only the U.S. dollar, but globally. That extra cash in the economy tends to not decimate, but make the currencies in which we deal decline. Given the currency declines that we're anticipating, that's generally strong for gold as well as for silver.
Yeah.
So diversification, what I mean by diversification is overall diversification in a portfolio. The King Solomon-esque type diversification. We hold 7 to 8 different assets, not just 3 CDs. Okay. Diversification. Never been more important.
Oil prices, amazingly, have been down. You look at the price of gas around here.
It's crazy how it's been jumping around. I literally marvel at the prices, 20 and 30 cents per day on a gallon of gas. I think it's, you know, uncertainty given the production levels, issues, obviously, with Iran and the worldwide scene. But our own production has been so good and relatively stable.
When those
worldwide scene.
Tankers were hit over in the Middle East a couple of weeks ago, they predicted gas prices would go up. It never happened.
Yeah.
We're like $2.60 around here.
Yeah.
Northern Michigan for a gallon of gas.
Yeah. $2.60 to $2.90 depending on the day or where you're at, right? So the shift is raising interest rates is on hold by the Fed. Other notes of positive, we have widespread investor pessimism.
Oh.
Why would that be positive? Because, unfortunately, they tend to be wrong. So we can bank consistently over time. When the crowd moves in a certain direction, you know, don't jump in line. If the line is going out the door for a certain investment, generally, they tend to be wrong.
When they zig, we zag.
Yes, indeed. That's another reason, diversification. The flow of dollars out of stocks into bonds is at extreme levels. I feel like a preacher here. Extreme. What does that mean? 15 years we've not seen this. Well, some would say that goes back before 2009, the last extreme period. So what does that mean? It's a great contrarian indicator, too, that the stock market, believe it or not, even at these levels, near 27,000 as measured by the Dow, there may be some more space, and not necessarily just in the United States, internationally as well. So this in and of itself, I think, can tend to make people nervous. Well, what is that? What is he saying? We should put all our money into stocks? No. It's just that keeping in mind a buy-and-hold strategy, using great money managers, making certain that your allocations are good and that you're not running toward one investment to solve all of your growth goals in your portfolio. Obviously, any one set of negative news on any one day can impact the price negatively of any of these assets we've been talking about. But over time, that's the key. The key.
I need to read a little disclosure today since we're getting into heavier stats.
Thank you.
And talking about the economy. Nothing contained herein is to be considered a solicitation, research material, an investment recommendation, or advice of any kind. The information contained herein may contain information that is subject to change without notice. Any investments or strategies referenced herein do not take into account the investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific person. Product suitability must be independently determined for each individual investor. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Now,
that
on
one.
That
Thanks.
Happy note.
How about some Shea stats?
Shea stats.
We've got some heavy numbers, so just stick with me through these, and then Dennis and Heidi will weigh in on their thoughts after each stat. That's your cue. Wink, wink.
Wink, okay. Wink.
Got it. With one trading week remaining, so that's really actually till tomorrow, and the first half of 2019, the S&P 500 is up 18.9% year-to-date. That's through last Friday. Over the last 25 years, the S&P 500 has produced an average gain of 9.1% per year.
Wow.
The first 6 months of the year have gained an average of 4.4% over the last 25 years.
Over four times the average right now.
A little ahead of schedule. Plus.
So instead of 4.4, we're at 19. Is that
basically,
right?
Basically.
Yeah,
yes,
wow.
Indeed.
The ongoing bull market for the S&P 500, which began on 3/10/09, has gained 441%.
That's a lot.
Total return over its 10-year, 3.5-month duration. The stock index gained 72% during the first 12 months of the bull run, including a 27% positive 27% during the first month of the bull market. What's your translation of that, Dennis?
Well, 440% is 4.4 times the sum. So what does that mean? 10,000, if invested in the S&P 500, well, it'd be worth about $44,000.
That's pretty good.
10 to 44. Not bad.
Mm-hmm. Not bad, not bad.
Having some money
that was
in an investment.
What amount of time?
Everyone
10 years?
Else is running mm-hmm. away.
Yeah.
Frankly, the blood was in the streets then. March of 09.
Okay.
It was, and about a year before, Warren Buffett had come out and said, well, I believe in the market. I believe in the U.S. economy. That quote sent chills up and down my spine. That it was, the market as measured at the Dow was about 6,500 as of March of 09. Today, about 27,000, give or take.
Wow.
So there's your 4.4 times.
Mm-hmm. A little perspective when you
yes.
are watching your accounts
yes.
these days, right? Mm-hmm. 2019 is the third year of Donald Trump's first four-year presidential term. The average return for the S&P 500 during the last 23 presidential third years has been a gain of 16.1% total return, an average return based upon data going back to 1927. The last time the S&P 500 was negative for a presidential third year was in?
Well, geez, 1927.
1939,
good
years
guess.
Ago.
Yeah. Very impressive. So what does that mean, Ron? Donald Trump is well above average already this year.
He's above average. Like all those children in Lake Wobegon.
The average return being about 16%, is that what you said, in the third year presidency? We're already at 18.9, is that what you said, in the first 6 months? Of course, we don't know what the end of the year holds.
No.
So, obviously, we're not through the year yet.
But the third
tends to be extremely positive,
for
which
any
it's
president.
Certainly bearing out
right.
to be thus far. And lots of indicators to...
So, Dennis, with all these stats, like, I get overwhelmed with all this information because some people are saying it's good, other people are saying it's bad, some people are starting to panic. I have a stat here that's too long to read, but it basically says that the 10 Wall Street strategists were wrong on their predictions for the 10-year Treasury note. So how are we supposed to interpret this information for our own life?
Well, for lives, it's what are we trying to invest for? And what is our risk tolerance? What are we willing to risk? But what are we willing to diversify and use these people who manage these accounts for our best interest in the long term? And it's understanding that the U.S. economy has a way of righting itself over time and giving investors a rate of return that they're normally not going to see with other types of assets if they're willing to invest even small portions in the stock market through, in many cases, what are well-managed mutual funds. So these geeks that are out there, if you want to call them that, who are out there seeking better prices for assets to purchase, just as a real estate investor might. Well, there's that piece of property there, and it's so obvious to me that it's a great value. If someone was looking as a real estate investor, you can see where you might see the value, given you've got the experience, you've got relative numbers, you know, you've looked at a lot of comparative properties in that particular area. You can sometimes make a decision that might realize a rate of return of 10 or 20% in a relatively short period of time. The same way that you might do that personally is how these money managers or these mutual funds look at stocks. They look at the people. They look at the industry. They look at the track record. They look at the fundamentals of that company to look at the stats of their own balance sheets, if you will. The same way that you would, you know, anytime you're purchasing a thing, if you're looking for value, we all know that it takes a certain amount of research, background, all that sort of thing, the same way they're managing these portfolios. And this is what benefits investors over time. And these are the kinds of assets that you almost have to own over time to continue to grow your portfolio so that at some point it's doing for you what you've always wanted it to do, like produce income. That's what most people have that goal for that portfolio to do, is how can it begin paying me back, given I paid into it? Now, psychologically, that is a difficult transition for some to make. I've been pushing this elephant for 40 years. We've heard and seen these people across the desk. How am I supposed to start making it produce income now? That can be an interesting and sometimes difficult transition. But on the other side of it, once you get beyond that, it's what have we always wanted to achieve with that? Well, we'd like to travel. I'd like to maybe see my spouse or significant other maybe a little bit more than we currently see each other, whatever that might be. That's the end goal. That's the fun of thinking about why am I continuing to put up with the ups and downs of the emotions of the world economy. Ron, we were talking about it at the break. There is a lot of noise out there going on right now between Mexico, Russia, China,
Iran,
our friends over there in the Middle East, some not so friendly. We all get it. But sometimes that noise is just, it's smoke. It's smoke. It doesn't really mean anything. Sometimes where there's smoke, there's fire. Many times there isn't at all. It's just wet wood.
Philosophically, it's amazing with that instability, though, that the market is where it is.
It is.
I mean, imagine if we had a nice, tidy trade deal with China all tied up, and if Iran was behaving itself. Wouldn't it be like gung-ho then, right?
That would be really interesting to see where the market would go if we came up with an agreement with Mr. Xi from China.
Whom the president will be meeting with this week.
Yes. Well, let's keep our fingers crossed, shall we? Did you have another stat you wanted to share?
Yeah, like you were saying, the point of all this is to hopefully one day retire. I have a stat here from the World Economic Forum. The average 65-year-old American male has accumulated retirement savings that will sustain him in retirement for 9.7 years, just short of his 75th birthday. The problem is that the average 65-year-old American male has a life expectancy up to 83 years, or 8.3 years beyond the point when his savings will run out. This study assumed that male retirees would need retirement income of 70% of the individual's pre-retirement pay.
You know, isn't that interesting? And I was thinking, as Shay was saying, the average life expectancy for a 65-year-old male is 83. Well, you can throw the averages right out the window for our listeners here at WTCM AM radio. Right, Ron?
Seriously. We are above average.
Well above. So well given above. That's the case, what if it's 85 or 90? Most people really underestimate their life expectancies.
And that's where all that planning comes
into. We're going to be together much longer than we thought. Yes. So, I think we have. Do we have time for one more stat here, and then we'll take a break, shall we?
Yes.
Finally, the most recent. I'm going to just read this portion. I think it's quite interesting. The most recent Global Fund Managers survey by Bank of America Merrill Lynch indicates that their cash allocation is one of the highest in 16 years, and their equity allocation, that's stocks, is the lowest since the bear market bottom in March of 2009. Speaking of March of 2009, these fund managers oversee a combined $600 billion in assets. This is a significant contrarian indicator that would indicate a contrarian buy for equities. It just means that, guess what? Even the best money managers of these groups, they do tend to be wrong, and it's a contrarian indicator. That simply means that, again, the herd is going one way. Use it as one of many indicators to say, you know, this thing may have some more room to run. Obviously, with lots of jumps and bumps for Dr. Seuss fans, but still relatively positive in the long term. Heidi's going to share with us the halftime hints for Heidi.
Heidi. Okay.
So, as we mentioned earlier in the show, we're almost to the half-year point. So, Ed Slott sent us his halftime strategy report. So, just a few things that people can do if they want to be proactive or maybe, you know, make things a little bit better for them this year. First is to review your 2018 tax returns. Now, that's probably not the funnest thing to do, to look at your tax returns, but because it was the first year since we had the new tax bill, some things changes, and there were some surprises for people, how much taxes were, how much was withheld, what their refund was. So you might want to sit down right now with your tax professional and think, hey, do I need to change my withholding? Do I need to make some changes? Should I put more into my IRA for a larger deduction this year? So some of those questions, if you review it now, you still have plenty of time to make those changes to have them have an impact. Next, this is just this one is about NUA, what is net unrealized appreciation. And this is just a strategy you can use if you have company stock in your employer plan. So not a lot of people will have this situation, but some will. But the reason if you are using this strategy, you need to have things completed by the end of the year. And if you don't, then you violate that process and you may invalidate that deduction and that tax savings. So you don't want to wait till it's too late to get all that done by the end of the year.
And we had a call on that 2 weeks ago. Two weeks ago from Indiana, a call on that very subject. Oh, yeah. So, yes.
So number three, you want to mine the gap to ensure the maximum stretch. What that refers to is beneficiary IRAs. So you have September 30th of the year following the year of the IRA owner's death. So for anyone who passed away in 2018, you have until September of this year to do some strategies. If you have a disclaimer, if you want to utilize that strategy, or if you want to use some post-death distributions, maybe there was a charity named as a beneficiary, you may want to pay them out. And also, you may want to split your IRA account into the separate beneficiaries' own accounts instead of keeping everything in there. That needs to be done before September 30th. So just going a little bit more in depth in that, that means if one person is named as a beneficiary, if more than one person is named as a beneficiary and each of those individuals want to use the stretch IRA by using their own life expectancy, then they need to roll that IRA into a beneficiary IRA of their own. If they leave it in the one account, then they have to use the age for their RMDs. Those are those required minimum distributions. They need to use the age of the oldest beneficiary. So why does this make a difference? Well, in my case, my kids, there's 10 years between the oldest and the youngest. So that could make a difference in how much they had to take out of the beneficiary IRA every year because of that age difference. So it can make an impact. The next one, QCDs. You've heard us talk about these a lot this year as a strategy. Now, last year, a lot of people maybe weren't aware of the QCD or the qualified charitable distribution option for your RMDs, that required minimum distribution. But this year, more people know about it and are doing it. Maybe last year you already wrote that check to that charity, so it was too late to take advantage of the QCD. So this year you may want to think about that and plan that out. So there's no way to fix this if you go past the year end and you want to say, oh, that RMD, I want to switch that to a QCD. After the year end, it's too late to take advantage of that strategy for that tax year. So another idea is to get in there and plan for your RMDs now. If you're over 70 and a half and you need to take a required minimum distribution, you know, you can take, there's no penalty for taking it early during the year. You don't have to wait till the end of the year. And if you don't take it, the penalty is sort of hefty. That's 50%.
50%. Mm.
So you want to make sure you take it. So it'd be great to check that box off. And then you could be done.
A lot of people are not good at math, but they know what 50% is.
Yes. Okay, so we just have just a couple more. Dive into the catch-up contribution. So what this means is for all those people out there who are turning 50 this year, one of the added benefits to being 50 is you get to put more money into your retirement accounts. When you turn 50, there's usually an additional allotment that you can put in. For example, for a traditional IRA in 2019, the maximum contribution is $6,000, but that catch-up contribution is another $1,000, so you can put in $7,000. And there are also catch-up contributions for your 401k and your simple IRA. So if you have one of those, you may want to relook at what you're putting in because now you can put in more.
Yay.
Right? Mm. And the last one I have for today is to correct any excess IRA contributions. You want to take those out along with any income attributable to that contribution. And you may say, well, what does this mean? What's an excess contribution? For example, maybe you are over the income level for a Roth contribution. Maybe you're making more money than you anticipated and you already made a Roth contribution. If you need to change that to a traditional IRA contribution, you should do that before the end of the year.
All right. Securities offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Capital Asset Advisory Services, CAS, a registered investment advisor.
Thanks. Great info. And it highlights, Heidi, the importance of taking a look at this stuff. Obviously, many don't look forward to getting together with the accountant. And frankly, I'm thinking, well, I'm glad I called our accountant a couple of days ago and set up a time to get together with him because it's almost 6:30. And it's almost like, I'm sure the accountants won't appreciate this, in some respects, like going to see the dentist. It's almost a requirement if you want to maintain that good health. And this is especially true, given the level of responsibility that we all have to try to make this work for ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, we're trying to get these funds together to achieve a goal that we're trying to realize.
Right. And it's always a good idea to just go in and see your financial advisor and your accountant and just make sure you're on track for the year when you still have that period to make some changes.
Exactly. So those small changes, usually small pivots, if you will, in your strategy can make an incredible difference. It's not usually the big decisions that make all the difference. It's the small ones. Well, okay, I've got this 401k. How can I use it to the most of its ability to help me accumulate funds over time. We just reviewed with our staff last week our own 401k plan, and I pointed out three or four other mutual funds that they possibly hadn't thought about before, simply because of their global reach. And I think you brought up, too, some of the natural resources companies within some of the portfolios within the 401k. Mm-hmm. So it can really make a difference, even small allocations to these kinds of assets within your risk tolerance range. It's not rocket science, but some time spent on this, it's incredible the results that I've seen for clients over time. Those willing to look longer term always tend to do better.
Right, and like that with the 401k, when I was talking about the catch-up contribution,
yes.
You know, in 2019, the maximum contribution is $19,000, but the catch-up contribution amount is $6,000. So instead of putting in $19,000, you can put in $25,000.
In case anyone in our audience is 50 or older, that would mean you can do that. Well, I'm 73. I'm still working at my company. Can they still do that, Heidi?
Yes.
They can. The answer, bam, just like that.
Bam.
So if we have a Mick Jagger still working at a company,
right.
75 years old,
right.
He or she is a star in their own right at that company. I don't know why I'm saying that. Anyway, they can still max out a contribution of $25,000 this year.
He could have done that right after the show Tuesday night in Chicago.
He may well have.
He may
we
well
don't
have.
Know.
He may
well
take some of those
that.
Ticket sales.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Thanks so much for listening. You can find us online at proutfinancialdesign.com. That's P-R-O-U-T, financialdesign.com. Also, you'll be able to find us on iTunes and SoundCloud.